Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a special free coaching edition of the Best Ever You Show with your hosts, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, and Gary Kobat, Integrative Life Coach. Together, Gary and Elizabeth combine their expertise to help you live your life to the fullest and be your best. We'll be taking your calls during this live coaching show for the next 30 to 60 minutes. So contact us at 714-868-0220 or just relax and listen. Remember, you can also visit us online at besteveryou.com. And now, your hosts, Gary Kobat and Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to a beautiful Memorial Day weekend here in the U.S. If you're listening from a different country, well, it's Memorial Day weekend here in the U.S., and it's the day where, it's the weekend, I think, Gary, where we all get on the roads and we need to all stay safe, don't we?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And it's awesome to be here. And you know, as I suggest to all of my clients, every day is a retreat. Every day is a home spa in my home. Every day is an opportunity to build a spa in your home. Every day is an opportunity to go into sanctuary. Every day is an opportunity to just pause and be grateful and appreciate and really reconnect to who we really are. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and it's a great weekend to stay home, too, isn't it?
Pause, absolutely.
And reflect and listen to the show on replay and nap. That's what I do. Whenever there's a holiday where people are on the roads, I'm like, no, thanks. I think I'm going to take a nap. So we're going to talk today with you for how long do you want to go? Maybe we'll see if we can you want to go the full hour maybe. I think people would probably really like that. We'll see if we have time. But what were we going to say? We were going to talk about being enough. But before that, we were going to talk about how we really wanted to create an environment for people on our show. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So it's once a month. So what we've decided is we're going to get together once a month. And our objective, our key intent from the very, very beginning is just to create 30 to 60 minutes of space. We're going to hold some space once a month here. So you can just listen in, but it's going to go deep. It could get challenging. It's going to be fun. It's quite critical thinking oriented, or it might be very, very awakening, but it's safe. And just bring yourself here and just, you know, kind of listen in, click on, call in if you want. But the point is it's safe and it's warm and it's fuzzy and it's cozy and it's okay and there's no judgment. And it's an environment where we can just let our hair down and just be real, like authentic.
Like, genuine. We were talking before we went on the air that, you know, I jiggle when I run down my street. You know, that kind of stuff. I'm jiggling less, but I mean, I still jiggle.
And well, and exactly, and non-judgment would be, oh well.
You
know, like, it's like, so that's where you are now, right? So we only have right now, and whatever we got going on right now is what we've got going on right now. So what we decided to do is just create the space where it's safe, where we can talk about anything, and we're going to talk about jiggling. We're going to talk about self-esteem and worthiness and being enough today. And, you know, we might someday talk about the digestive tract and eliminating waste and, you know, like whatever. But it's okay.
I'm a girl. I refuse.
Right. Cleansing and whatever, detoxing and so forth. But the point is it doesn't matter. It's okay. And I kind of want to start the show with not only is this a safe place, but whatever we talk about and whatever's going on in your life, it's okay. It's human. It's up and it's down. It's light and it's dark. And for the majority of the time, we can't control it. We have feelings that come up. We may not like the feelings. We could be like peaceful and then another moment goes by, a song comes on, something comes on the TV, your mind just gets active and something not so warm and fuzzy comes up and it's challenging. It doesn't feel good and you get scared, or it brings back the past, or it's suggesting to you you're attached to something. And our initial reaction typically is to just reject it or resist it, we call it. And that just makes it stronger. And so what I wanted to kind of just come back to is, who are we? what goes on, truly goes on within a human being. Just some fundamentals. And take just a little perspective at that, and let's not forget some of those fundamentals and those basics. We might use some language that maybe other people use slightly different language, but we're not going to get stuck in semantics. We're going to just embrace, not judge, but embrace the human being. And it's not always amazing. There are points in time that something reminds you of something, you know? Popcorn in a movie theater, right? All those kinds of things. You know, a certain smell reminds you of, you know, grandma's, you know, place where she was. And those kinds of things. And then not so positive as well. So this safe environment, we're going to let our hair down, and whatever goes on is okay. And so if I can make a suggestion right away is whatever comes up today for you, when we say what comes up, whatever feelings surface, even if it's anger, even if you're scared to death, it's okay. And not resist them, but just pause. Just be awkward. Just sit with it. Hold some space, we call it. No matter what it is. And that step right there, okay, is loving. It's compassion. It's kind of mothering energy. It's part of light. It's part of love. And when we address things, not from resistance, but with compassion or love or this mothering energy. Remember when we were a kid and we bump our head and we start crying and mom comes around. She just gives us a little hug and kisses our forehead. And it just calms everything down. So what we have this tendency to do, because we're so caught up in this modern society of ours, and so many things are going on, and so much change happens so quickly, is we get caught up in that, and this to-do list, and all this doing, and we forget who we are. We at times stop being who we really are, and we become this other thing, and this other person. And we react. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, before I got on this call, I was having a conversation with my girlfriend, and we were talking about love and compassion. Dr. Katie Eastman and I were talking about love and compassion and how important those two words are in your world. So it's interesting to hear you just now bring those two words up again.
And what's a guy talking about love and compassion for, right?
No, it's so beautiful. We need guys talking about love and compassion.
Well,
and
so,
I want to
so
tell
me,
you, before we keep going, yeah. let me just stop you for 1 second and let you know that we have two callers on hold, and then the chat room is going gangbusters, and Deb Scott is with us, too.
Awesome.
We've got lots of people. So hi, everybody, and thank you for joining us. Love you.
Absolutely. Welcome in. Make yourselves comfortable, and let's roll our sleeves up and get down. So let's talk about that a little bit, okay? So this love and compassion, first of all, like, what's a guy talking about this for? Well, first of all, just eliminate that, because I'm a human being, and we're all human beings, and we're equal. Right, so we have this driven energy, this kind of masculine energy, and we have this feminine energy, and we need to understand that. So today's call is all about just acknowledging, accepting, or just listening and possibly awakening or becoming conscious of this intricacy. It's like, well, what's my title and all those kinds of things, you know, and we had to figure out something. But what's going on here, and again, we're just assisting people to, let's not forget, we're integrative. We are mind, body, and spirit, and they all need to be nourished, and they're all part of our light. And they go dark, or they go shadowy, or they go twisted, or they go wounded or scarred along the way. Mentally, physically, and spiritually. And when we're out of balance, let's just say it's like a table or a three-legged end table or chair or something, and it's out of balance, it's going to wobble. And there's a lot of people out there, and no different than any one of us, male or female, it's wobbling.
Okay, wait a second now, because you are a superstar athlete. I call you chiseled. It's my favorite word for you. You know, I can see every muscle on you to perfection. You've got all these wonderful things that you write. You've got pictures of sunsets and sunrises and all this stuff. Do you have problems too?
Absolutely. And I don't want to say I got problems.
Not problems, okay. But I mean, do you have
I have challenges.
Yeah.
Because if you ever talk to an athlete, and again, right, I assist people, so I'm working with them. And I'm not telling them what to do. I'm asking a lot of questions, and I'm empowering them, their free will and their willpower, and more importantly, I'm helping them tap into their compassion and their love, and their, because those things create gifts. And we got to acknowledge our gifts, and we do our gifts, and we move through our gifts, and we implement our gifts, and we embrace and be our gifts, that we're happy. And when we're not, when we've got a mask on and we're faking it, or we're posing, or we don't feel enough, or we don't feel perfect, or we're not smart enough, or old enough, or too old, or attractive enough, or we jiggle, right? then we feel slightly less than, unless we know who we really are. So I kind of wanted to start there. No matter male or female, doesn't matter, athlete or not. So I have challenges. So when you talk to an athlete, it's like, talk about it in form of challenges. Why? Because an athlete loves a good challenge.
Funny.
Right? So they're going to like, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know,
got
and a PhD. Well, and here's the downside sometimes. Like, the challenge is, like working with a PhD, or this morning worked with an athletic therapist and a psychologist. And I'm always working with high intellect, it seems to. Why? Because they're very highly intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not so in touch with their heart. So not only creating space for us in our day, we're going to do it once a month here, but everybody, I challenge everybody to quiet, pause, and create space. Hold space for what? Your light. Who's holding your light? It's not your husband's responsibility, Elizabeth. It's your responsibility. Hold your light. Well, who's holding Gary's light? Me. I must hold it. So what we must understand or acknowledge or accept is that we have a moment-to-moment, day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, no matter how old we are, jiggly we are, or whatever, a practice, an exercise or a practice. No different than our yoga practice, a bicep curl, or riding a bike, or learning how to ride a bike. We got to learn again or revisit how to reconnect to our light, our compassion and our love, per your discussion with the doctor, and our gifts, who we really are. So real quickly, the quick analogy, right, we've shared before is it's like that old-time movie theater, right? And you've got that big projector up in the back through the window that shoots the projection onto the screen, okay? And there's like these big reels of film, and the film is the story. But what's behind the story? Light, a light bulb, some sort of high-intensity light. Well, guess what? We're walking around full of stories. We are our stories. People are owning, attached. I'm my story. Oh, my gosh. My dad did this, and my mother did that, and they didn't do this, and my sister does that, and we never had any money.
That's
the
blame
story.
Game.
Right. It's the story game, right? No matter
the reason,
if it's blame and shame.
Reason why we don't.
Yeah. Right. So there's this game going on, the story going on. What's behind the story? What's behind the celluloid film in those old-time movie theaters, right? The light.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this, just acknowledging not only to create space or pause momentarily throughout your day and just breathe and come back to now, and that's how we come back to now, is just breathe. With the athletes I work with, I have them come back into their heart or their body. So their heart is usually quickly through a heart monitor. Their body through maybe the tips of their fingers, and we're on a 6-mile run, and I ask them to put like a potato chip between their fingertips, an illusionary potato chip, and don't break the potato chip, and next thing you know, they're not even in their head
it.
Anymore.
Yeah,
right? So the point is to get out of our head. Our head just drives us crazy. It's overrated, our head, our mind. And to get back into our heart. Why? Because our heart, right? Our creator, our divine, is not necessarily up there. It's inside us, and it's in our core or our foundation, our heart. Our divine is inside. That's the light on a movie projector in an old theater. So we want to get a more enhanced, a more developed, a more timely relationship with this light. Because think about when we come in, right? We're born. What does everybody do when they look at a baby? oh, look at the baby.
Oh,
the baby. Oh, it's so cute. Oh, my God, I want to touch him. Oh, yeah. And, or a dog. Oh, look at the dog. Oh, my God, look at the dog. It's so beautiful. You know, unconditional love. It's not conditional love. It's unconditional love to a baby. We come in pure, authentic. You know, we're not constipated when we come into life. We poop 15 times a day, right? Where there's, where we're like unfiltered. We're completely,
and if you were, it explains a lot.
We're completely pure and unblocked, right? Unstuck, unclogged. That's why I call this whole process nourishment. Is we might be a little malnourished or imbalanced, and we want to nourish. Well, how do we nourish? Okay, we understand we're up and down. We're this light or this little baby, this little pure, authentic light, unscarred, never will be. And then we're our accumulated, like plaque on your teeth, right? It just builds over time unless you brush your teeth. So what do you got to do? You got to go to the bathroom to cleanse your body. You got to brush your teeth to clean your teeth. What are we doing with these accumulated experiences we call scars or wounds or negative experiences? What are we doing with those? Other than stacking up, if we're not paying a little attention, if we're not conscious over the years that we've accumulated these, this stuff, this buildup, and we forget to connect to our gifts and our genuine light, okay, we become addicted. We become in pain, or a pain body, as Eckhart Tolle would say, my friend Eckhart, and or we become codependent because we lose who we really are. We lose touch with. Okay, so there's all of these filters and layers, and again, a lot of overweight people, that's just protection from all of that stuff that's happened over their life. And then they what? Tell themselves a story. So they have all these stories. Well, these stories, you know, you got to ask yourself this question, is that really true? Right? When we get into fear, right? I utilize a story, and we ran the marathon, you know, last month with Lori. Lori's 56 and ran the marathon, what, hadn't run the marathon in 25 years, and then had her child, and then the child graduates and has a celebration of Columbia graduation. She runs the marathon again 25 years later. So she asked me to train her
Lori.
For that. Yeah. Hopefully she's there in the last year. So we've, you know, nurtured it. But we had all of these layers of experiences, right, to get to her core self. And in the middle of some run, she'd be like, but 3 miles from now, there's this hill, and I can't do this hill. I'm like, okay, we've got to get out of our head.
I think I can.
Well, she was like, I'm not sure I can. I doubt. It's no different than anybody else. All of a sudden, her self-esteem went boom, dipped. Because what? She was buying into the story that she was feeding herself. So, again, these stories, it's like
that's
fear.
Really important
fear.
Right there.
Well, let me
just stop you again for a second, because that's so important, because we're masters of that. You know, I think everybody does that when, you know, you tell yourself a story, and you that becomes your story of why you don't or won't or can't or shouldn't or whatever.
And I like to suggest when we're there and we're so deep into our story, and either bust them right there. It's like, okay, is that your story? You sticking by it, right? And I'm like, okay, if you're your story, if you're your story, what are you going to do with your now? What? What are you talking about? I said, we only have now. We can only be happy in the now. And if you fill up your nows with all these stories, it's like your closet's full. We can't put any new clothes in there. So you got to get
some stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody listening on the line right now, which our chat room is full, and we have a caller that I really want to get to so we can have them ask us a question. But let's say your story is something that is true. Like, for example, you know, for me, I was telling you, you know, I'm just really not that great of a runner, Gary. And when I do run really, like, my neck goes out of whack and I end up in the chiropractor's office. So is that a story or is that a truth?
No, that's your...
That maybe an exercise that's not...
Well, actually, that's very good, by the way. That's what you feel. Right? That's your experience. But
yeah,
when
I mean,
but that's yours. Okay, it's not mine. So you hire me as the 52 marathon running coach guy. And so I come in and go, that's cool, but let's do it this way. And we start by walking. And we do 2 or 3 weeks of walking. We add a few hills. We pick up the pace now and then. But every other day we walk. Next thing you know, within 3 weeks, you got a base of walking going. Your heart rate's starting to lower. You're sleeping better. you drop a pound more, maybe, probably. We shift your eating. We add some supplementation. We get you some of the tools that we're talking about today. And again, this is my 21 Days That'll Change Your Life program. But by 21 days, you're rocking and rolling, and we can go to the next level. So the next level is what? We're going to run 1 minute. Every third night.
Okay, but not 14, right?
No.
And what I like
and
what
guess
you
what?
Said
in 6 months,
was that I'm not hitting the ground running, you know, let's go
right.
run 3 miles, you know. And that's the other thing we do. You know, we, like I'm, you know, almost 43, and I think, here we go. I'm going to go do gymnastics.
Boy,
you know,
over the hill, man. You're so over the hill.
Woo! But, you know, no, I don't mean it like that. But what I mean
not.
Is I'm not exactly my old, you know, athletic gymnast self. But in my head I am, but my body does not do, my butt does not go, you know, soaring through the air anymore, doing, you know, flips or anything. It does
right.
not go that way anymore.
Okay.
But
so,
in
so,
your head, you are, and then you get discouraged that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So
but
it's like
what I've heard, the way you described it, and may I just be like, okay, now we're really in the sanctuary
oh, yeah.
here. We're really in the safe places. I heard a lot of nots and can'ts and don'ts.
Exactly.
That's what I heard, okay, from you, coming out of you. So you own that.
Yep.
You're attached to that slightly. So the you know, equal,
I'm devil's advocate,
no male and female. So there's right. There's no male and female going on here. There's no, you know, what I'm feeling is I know you can.
Yeah, I know I can, too.
You're completely capable to run. We
yeah.
just might have to approach it slightly different, take a little more time. As you guys were talking about before the call, bring some love and compassion into the way we do this, some loving kindness. Okay, we might, and my suggestion is, there probably hasn't been anybody I haven't met that we haven't had to untie one of these scars or knots or wounds along the way or really face and not resist the fear. So whether we're walking on coals or jumping out of airplanes or whatever, it's amazing, or just living our life each day,
yeah.
It's facing fear no matter what.
Dr. Katie? Oh, hang on 1 second. Katie?
Yeah?
I don't know if she can hear me. I have you live because I thought this might be where you might want to chime in about running.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, doctor. How you doing?
Good. Okay, call me Katie, number one.
Okay, jump in here. Both
exactly
feet.
What you said earlier, Gary, which I really love. Yes, I love what you're saying, that you have to focus on the can. And the way that you get to the can is that process of, okay, I am not able to do this now, but what can I do? So I think it's a balance of, because part of aging is accepting what you aren't able to do, but doing what you can and focusing on what you can. But you also have to be able to say, you know, as Elizabeth and I found out going to ballet class, we really can't turgitate.
Ballet class.
You know, we can't turgitate. I mean, I don't care, Gary, how long we tried. We're not there. We could get there for, you know, 3 years from now, but we're
right.
not there now. But
which is where?
Do,
right.
We could show up.
Oh,
or you can say, this doesn't, I think I have more gifts in this other area, and I think this would be a little more creative.
Right.
And I
exactly.
believe I love the experience, and what's coming
right.
up right now is it doesn't feel good. And you know what?
Right.
I don't think it's, and then there's a cost benefit. I don't think I'm going to spend a year and a half to get to where these people are in a month. So
right.
I think we'll choose something else to have our – and that's called free will, and that's also called
exactly.
a connection with yourself, okay,
yeah.
and what
and
you love.
And it's also called sanity. Right. It's also
oh, sure.
called sanity.
Sanity.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. So,
yeah.
so what I'd like to suggest is that one's tricky, okay, because what was clear to Elizabeth, okay, was it was clear that it – not, won't, can't, shouldn't, didn't, you know, whatever. And what was clear to me is, oh, she's fully capable. And I've done this, like, I don't know, thousands and thousands of times with thousands and thousands of clients. And I would sit there the night before the marathon, maybe 4,000 marathoners that I'm training, and the night before, and they're shaking in their boots on the pasta dinner. And I would go, let's take a look at what we, well, first of all, who's scared right now? And they all raise their hand. And I said, great, let's take a look at, you know, number one, what have you done here? Can you eat? Yeah. Can you drink? Yeah. Can you put one foot in front of another? Yeah. Can you do a 6 miler? Yeah. 10 miler? Yeah. An 18 miler? Yeah. 20 miler? Yeah. How many 10 milers did you do? Oh, 15 before you got to tonight. Next thing you know, they're realizing we just stacked up, right? All these things they've already achieved, they can do them. But they were sitting there trying to eat their pasta, and it's barely going down their esophagus because they're so scared, because they're coming from, I've never run a marathon. Well, you've run like 15 marathons in your training program, you know, not the actual distance, but the accumulation between San Francisco and L.A., right? So you're right.
Yeah, and when I ran the marathon, I was 45 years old and probably about 40 pounds overweight, and I ran the whole thing.
Awesome.
And you're right. It's absolutely all about saying what you can do.
Right, and accepting whatever's going on, whatever's going
right.
on. We always say there's a bad patch. So we have a bad day, you know, or a
right.
challenging day, right? And we have a challenging patch in a marathon, and we don't know if we can finish. We just breathe, relax, pause, you know, walk if you were running. You know, these kinds of things that just slow the pace down, bring the anxiety down. Certainly the easiest way is just to pause, stop and just breathe and come back to now. And because right now is who you really are. And then just say, okay, the couple other things are, all right, what story am I telling myself? Or am I telling myself a story? By saying just questions. We call them transformational questions. Is this true? This BS I'm saying to myself right now. Right? And then realizing this one I really, really deep down inside believe is core, and that is, who's carrying the light? What is the light? Oh, I am light. Some people don't even know.
Right.
They don't remember their light. They're the light behind that story or that film on the projector, right? There's light in there, and our practice, moment to moment, every single day, is to reconnect with our light, our love. For
yep.
instance, when we're angry, how much love is in that? Zero. When we're pissed off, zero. When we're frustrated, zero. When we're hard on ourselves, zero. There's no love in those things. They're like below the horizon. They're below the line. Okay, there's no love, and you guys were talking about what? Bring in the love and the compassion. To what? To solve, answer, to a bridge. To what? Our gifts, our happiness. It's all about love, you know, no
mm-hmm.
matter who we are. And it's reconnecting with this genuine, authentic, you know, baby-like light. And it's in everybody, unscarred. It's the scars, you know, that we've accumulated over time, that we believe these stories that have to be unknotted. Got on a little roll there, didn't I? Oof.
No, it's okay.
Beautiful.
Because I went over to the tap dancing room while you were talking.
Now, hopefully you put your heart rate to 130.
Yeah.
And
exactly. All right, Dr. Katie. Did you want to ask? Do you want to hold Katie, or do you want to stay live, or do you want to want me to mute your phone back?
Yeah, go ahead and mute me unless you want to ask me anything. I'm
okay.
Fine listening. I'm enjoying it so much, and I agree with everything you're saying, Gary. It's just beautifully
awesome.
Set.
Great talking to you. Feel free to chime back in.
You too.
I wanted to say is when okay. So who's responsible to finding our light? We are. It's a practice. It's no different than, you know, the walking practice or the yoga practice or the eating practice or the getting out of our mind back into our heart practice. It's all a practice. And some people might do it in a month or two, and it might take somebody else 5 or 6 years to find themselves. So this accumulation over time, and now we're in our 40s, and there's this thing, wacky things happen, this real tricky, awkward time where we don't know who we are. We thought we were these things, but what we find out is we're these things. We are our light with this plaque on our teeth. But that's not me. That's the human
mm-hmm.
part of me, but you know what? That's not who I really am. So you see somebody angry and screaming and yelling and projecting their stuff, their pain onto you, and you look at them, and you, when you come from this love and compassion, you go, underneath all that pain is their light and their love and their compassion, and they're just this human being, this lighted human being on pain. and this real intimate getting to know my father along the way. My dad was my beautiful dad on alcohol. Regularly.
Yours was, personally?
Yeah, regularly.
Oh.
And our family, you go through all sorts of dynamics from, you know, blaming and shaming to owning to taking responsibility to putting through rehab. And the bottom line is, again, it's attachment. And that's all chocolate is, and that's all weight is, and that's all an addiction is, drugs, you know, meds, too much Advil for a runner. I mean, it's just an attachment. Why? Because it takes away the pain. It numbs everything. Gambling, sex, promiscuism, all that stuff is just an attachment, a numbing agent, I call them. So what I learned along the way, and as I forgave my dad and had to learn to forgive myself and forgive my dad, so this whole show on forgiveness we can do, is just look at him with love and compassion, as you guys were talking so awesome about before we started. And that was, there's my dad on alcohol, on chemicals. That's all. So when he talked on chemicals and alcohol, I didn't really take it seriously, like what he was trying to tell me, because it was twisted and you know, disjointed and
yeah.
Was full senses and slurred his words and all those things. And so then I had to figure out how to distance myself so I didn't take on any of that. And that was a big learning. So
I bet.
You know, when you say, you know, Gary, you're this, you're that, and you're athletic and da-da-da-da-da, you know, it's like the therapist this morning we were working and getting deep into her as she was riding her bike, opening up. And we just laugh all the time because we're just like every other, you know, Joe and Mary on the bus. And we're also, our art, our craft, our gift is assisting others to just get another perspective and to
yeah.
empower them or just encourage them to, what, connect with their light. Even if some of my clients are on chemicals and then there's this tricky, just... And again, no judgment. It's like no judgment. You know, that's too heavy or that's too old or that's all judgment. And again, that's no different than drama, which is no different than I'm not enough. There's no love in that. So again, you guys had it. It's just all about compassion and love. Who's responsible? We are for ourselves. We love to support, care, inspire others. But we're limited to what we give to ourselves. So on a scale of 1 to 10, if all we have is a bank full of 2, a level of love in ourselves of 2, that's all we can give. And when we give a 3, we're codependent. We're addicted. We can't live without them. We lose ourselves. And so this 45-year-old woman who moves on from the relationship and still has 2 or 3 kids and wonders if the alimony payment will be there on time and is recreating herself and her career and trying to find herself. I work with dozens of those women, and I care for that position so much because they've given away their power, their identity. Why? They felt that was the move. That was the decision. I wanted to help these kids get through college, and then what? Then you find what? Empty nesters or all these labels they put on what? What's really an empty nester? The kids are gone. They're adults now, and you're looking at your partner, your husband, and you're going, I don't even know if I know this guy. Actually, I don't even know if I know myself. And now what do we do? So, and then all of a sudden, you know, you come back to this, all of a sudden, universe kind of jumps in, this midlife crisis type of a point, and comes in and kind of just starts removing stuff that you were counting on. So then you're standing there naked as a jaybird, you know, with, you thought you were this, so, and now you're that, or you're just that baby again that just came into Earth. We call that what? Reborn. You die to reborn, right? So all of these labels of this language that has power in it is actually very clear of why we name it that. It's because all the
false... Okay, hang on one...
Sure.
Oops, sorry. No, finish what you were going to say.
I was just going to say all the
I'm going to bring
stuff.
You live on the call. Hang on.
Sure.
Go ahead.
All the false stuff is taken away from you if you don't choose to take it away from you in this midlife.
All right,
area.
We have another caller.
You got it.
215, is that you, Heshi?
Yeah, it is.
Hi, how are you? We love you.
Well, I'm listening to this call and thinking, whoa. First of all, I loved what Katie had to say because I teach that, but somehow listening to someone else say it made it come even more clear, saying, I cannot do this now, and what can I do? But then when Gary started talking about his father and everything, I thought, well, maybe this is a time I could get some clearing up, because I have never been able to forgive my father, ever.
And so, may I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
Okay, well, I'll just share my situation, because I don't know yours, and we don't have time to really get deeper into that. But the power in what I found out, and I've got goosebumps as I say this, so I know it's the right thing to do, is I'm being guided right now, if you can't tell, is my not enoughness throughout my life, and you would never know it, top 10 in the world, right? You would never know it, but my not enoughness came because, you know what, whenever I turned to my father, he was on alcohol. And so deep, deep, deep down inside, I figured out that alcohol was more important than Gary. And I didn't feel enough. But when I went, he's light, and he was on chemicals, and he didn't even know. So how could I judge him? How could I? We didn't like his decisions, and they were affecting our family, okay? But it's like he was responsible for himself, and I'm responsible for myself. So at 30, I gave up alcohol. Why? Because the entire chain of family, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, were alcoholics. And when you see that pattern, someone in the family has to step up and stop. We call it the chain of abuse. Somebody's got to do it. Who's going to do it? Who's going to carry the light? So each person has to do that, whether my sister, my brother, whatever,
wow,
or each for ourselves, right? And so you learn over the years, you know, this forgiveness thing, and that's a deep, that takes a while. It's everybody's on their own course and path, and like I said, it's another show. But the point is, the other side of that is when you forgive yourself and forgive them. Now, again, I don't know how intense it was for you, but it's the answer. And I just realized it was my owning not enoughness, which was a BS story.
You know, it's not about the drinking. It's about sexual abuse in my entire family, starting with my father. So I don't know that he drank, but I never saw him drink. It was really what he did to me, and I decided that I would be the one in my family that would break the chains. And so I teach people about not accepting the abuse, and in the back of my mind, it's kind of hypocritical because I'm going, I can't forgive him. The only thing I do is say, okay, he was sick, and all the males in my family who lived in the same house, I just figured they were sick, and I even say my mother, for watching, was sick. So I haven't been able to really get that out of my mind, and instead of doing it through alcohol, mine has taken on extreme pain in my body, which is runs rampant.
Okay, so first of all, those feelings that come up, it's okay. Our work, your work with you in your life, no matter any of that, is to be able to sit with that compassionately and lovingly. Not what we do. It's easy. I've done it. Others, I'm sure, on this call or who are listening, done it. And we stuff it, or we deny it to come up because it hurts, or we numb it with, you know, gambling and shopping and alcohol and all that stuff, or we just stuff it. And we don't really, really get to it. So by you acknowledging it right here is part of the healing process. It's starting the compassion and love to it. And I'm saying is when you feel it or when it comes up, just be motherly, like you bumped your head, and just put your arm around yourself. And that's practice. And when you do that more and more and you practice that, you're going to find that's not going to be as painful. And again, I'd be happy to talk to you, you know, at some other point in this call on other ways to address you know, these feelings, but you're enough. You're completely beautiful and more than capable and amazingly intelligent and such a giver, and that's the real you. Okay? And then owning their stuff and not getting peaceful with it, okay, is your work. And if it takes a while, oh well.
So what do you do? They're all dead.
Pardon?
You know, it's like I can't go back and talk to anybody except one of my cousins, and I just, you know, he called one time a couple of years ago, and I just hung up the phone. This is like, because I don't want to talk to anybody, and the others I can't talk to.
And when you're not ready, you're not ready. I call it worthy, enough, right? Willing,
mm-hmm.
and ready. If you're not ready, you're not ready, and it's okay. Don't feel guilty.
You know, Heshi, I was going to add to that, you know, you were saying that they're all passed away and everything. It's this is really more about you than anything that you would probably ever say to them. It's more about you.
And so there's you know, you can write a letter, and,
yeah.
and nobody gets it, but you wrote the letter. You know, there's various ways to do this. And again, I just touching briefly on it. It can be way. We can spend a little more time on it if you choose. Also, we have to make a decision. Free will here is, you know, if that's consuming your now. You're not happy. You're consumed. And if it's the past, remember, that's about shame and blame. And the future's about fear. So it's not unhuman. It's very human to hold on to something in the past or be very scared about something in the future. So that's your work. I don't want to get any further there because I know we've got a few more things to do. But I'd be happy to set that as the table of work. Is it okay? And it's going to take some practice, and there are some tools, and you're awesome with it. And, when Elizabeth said, you know, you're this, you're that, or you're sculpted, or you're athletic, and you're all of these things, you know, the therapist and the doctor and the healers, we all need work, too, with ourselves.
Yeah. That was kind of my point in saying that, to kind of have you, you know, I know sometimes some of the things I say are, I'm trying to get the other things, you know, out so
sure.
we have a conversation and so forth. But in the chat room, a lot of people are really talking about their dads. You know, I know I personally, I have a dad that I don't even know. My parents were divorced when I believe they started fighting over me when I was born. You know, they even fought over my name, for crying out loud. So, you know, there's a lot of us with these types of things. And one thing that you said, Gary, was, and I don't know if you heard yourself say this or maybe you did it intentionally, but you said break the chain. And I'm wondering if a lot of us on this call today are those chain breakers where we move away to distance ourselves or we break a pattern that's within our family that we don't exactly love or like, whether it's alcoholism or sexual abuse or money problems or whatever it is, we want to do something different with our lives.
And it's not running. It's facing,
no,
right?
No, not running. It's being responsible.
Right. Exactly. And that's where I was coming to, is responsibility for our life. And
yeah,
the things
for me, because for me, that just doesn't make me happy, and I don't want to live that way. So I'm going to choose to do something personally for me and my own family and my own husband or whatever, you know, that makes our family unit happy and thriving and safe.
You know, fear and unworthiness and not enoughness and not smart enough and all of these things, they don't go away. What we do when we bring compassion, we call it holding space. When we first pause, and what does that do? Hold space for what? Compassion and love, as they said, to who? Ourselves, so that it doesn't consume us, control us, take over our life, and we become this, you know, as I said earlier, we're our light. That's who we are. We're not our accomplishments. We're not our job. We're not the 52 marathons I ran. I'm not that. I had to learn that I'm not that. You know, I work with people all the time. You can see on Facebook, it's like, oh, my God, I injured my Achilles and I can't run my next marathon. I'm like, you're not your marathon. The universe is telling you, bringing some light to this imbalance so that you can embrace it with some motherly tenderness, so that it doesn't consume you. So as we bring love, it diminishes. It's like we don't lose our fear. We just kind of quiet it down. So now it's 5% of our life instead of 85% of our life. And
yeah,
that's
you know,
practice.
Yeah, Deb Scott, you were saying, Deb's in the chat room. She's kind of manning the chat room for us or womaning the chat room for us, so I don't know if she's going to be able to call in. But she's saying her dad, where are you, Deb? You were saying your dad was a martini a night guy or something, or many martinis a night guy. I don't know, maybe if you could chat that to me again so I could talk, or, you know, if you want to call in. But she's got a lot of scars as well, and one of the things that she does she works with teens as a confirmation director, and she just had like 65 teenagers this past Sunday go through her confirmation class.
Awesome. Yeah, and this morning, it's like there's more ways to celebrate yourself and life than just drinking, right? Or getting, you know, a numb or whatever. Or in some people, they really enjoy. I mean, they've got a wine cellar full of, you know, a collection, and that's an art to them, and that's okay. As long as you, it's like, I'm not responsible. I don't want to take responsibility for those people's free will decisions. However, it's how are you with it, and what's it's, you know, how does it serve you? Is it good for you? I usually say these things, and you know, Elizabeth, we've said this a few times.
Yeah.
Is it good for me? Is it good for the other person? Is it good for the world? And when you're hitting yes, it is, yes, it is, yes, it is, you know, that's a really valuable pathway.
I love that. Is it good for me? Is it good for the other person? And is it good for the world? And Heshi, that you're saying that's probably why I take care of so many kids. I don't want them to have the same experiences and prepare them for what not to accept. Huh.
As,
are you
as
still
well
there,
as,
Heshi? I don't know if you're on the line.
Yeah, I'm on the
line.
Line. I take care of thousands
and chatting.
Of. I'm
and
chatting. I'm
be
doing.
Aware.
What?
Please be aware. I said, please
yes.
be aware. There's this fiber and people that have been abused. Clearly become abusers. So, and again, let's tone down like our running mind definitions of abuse. Abuse could be just not, you know, going 12 hours without a meal. That's abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not that just because you're trying to lose weight. So it's just being hard on yourself. So people that have had this hardness projected to them, usually that's all they know. And this is subconscious, deep down, so you maybe not even know that. So this loathing or this you know, woe is me or this victim place that might pop up, again, it's human, it's okay, it's stemming from this repetition. It's all your senses may know sometimes, and you might take it out on yourself, or you might take it on a friend, you might take it out on, you know, a partner or whatever, and you just need to come to acknowledgement of that. If that's ever happened.
Dr. Katie?
Yes?
Oh, you are there. Do you want to chime in a little bit again?
Well, you know, one of the things that I love about this conversation, and Heshi, I'm so glad you called in. Your story is just a perfect example of how when we take love and compassion, as Gary's talked about, and we enlighten ourselves and we illuminate our story, then we get to create a different world and a different story. And then what we do is we make that into our purpose. And our purpose becomes helping share that with others and helping them heal. And I think that as all of us who are working as wounded healers, which I love that term,
absolutely,
that's what Gary's talking about. And I think it's beautiful. And I think, Heshi, your story is a grand example of how you're taking your pain and you're creating something from it.
Yeah. It's a gift. And you've paid your dues. You've paid your dues.
Yeah.
And you're not reading it in a book and then sharing it. You're literally, you've lived it.
You've lived
yeah.
it. Yeah.
When
and I know
says,
that it
so,
helps a lot of people out there for that.
When somebody says, do you know how to run a marathon? I'm like, you know, 90,000 miles later, 52 minutes. Yeah, You want to know about a marathon? Okay, no problem. When you talk marathon with any PhD, any physiologist, any whatever, why? Because there's just 25 years of feeling that I share.
You know, the other question, though, Gary, I know we were talking before, you were telling me about your hip and your knee.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about how that's changed your life just a little bit?
Well, how about pain is a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of pain.
Yep.
Stub your toe all the way to a water skiing accident, rip up my knee. Just sign a contract with Minnesota Twins, thrown away. Right? It's not going to happen now because I just ripped up my knee. But what did that do? The universe said, you're not destined. My mom, 15 years later said, son, don't you know why that happened? You weren't meant to be a baseball player. Talk about baseball. You're here to help people. So these things that happen to us, we don't even know what's on the other side. We must trust, right, that it opens up our life for what? Anything. And as she suggested, the doctor suggested, it's like we can create a new anything, as much or little as we want. And so that turned me into running, which then turned me into really what it did, that running did. It literally was the day. It was like, okay, it's Friday night. I'm out with the boys drinking screwdrivers, right? And like we did on Friday nights. And then I had a 15-mile run the next day, and I went, wow, do I ever feel like my dad? And so I didn't like that feeling. And I had to run the next day with this group of people that was counting on me. So I ran, and I suffered. And that pain transformed me. I quit the next day. It was easy. I then did, you know, lots of, we learn over the years that we're connected to our dad and our mom and our grandma and grandpa and all this ancestry that we inherit if we choose. So it's there. So now how big in our life do we want that to be? So we save the beautiful things about our folks and our grandfolks and things, and we have to make decisions about the things that aren't so positive, because they weren't perfect either. And those were all wake-up calls from that led to what? All of this athleticism is just coming from, you know, now sharing from experience, that's all.
All right, I muted the callers back so we only have like 7 or so minutes left to keep talking. Everybody's saying they love your story. Oh. I love your story.
So
too.
Now, the story was, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, I just like, okay, I was like done talking about the story. Actually, when you think about it, is and it could be anybody. At 51, I'm 55 now. 51, hip went out, and so every doctor said, no more running. We'll fix it. But you can't run on the new parts we put in there. And that wasn't...
How are you feeling at that moment with
lost.
Between baseball,
because,
which was earlier, and then running, now your other thing, and it's like, you know, give me a break here.
So as I was so grateful because I've been guided, and what I've been guided was my creator wanted me to sit with it for a day and suffer and get fearful. Oh, my God, I can't move again. I can't ride a bike. I can't run. Oh, my God, what am I going to do for a living? Oh, geez, I have to figure out how to speak, you know, and all of these things, which I already spoke and already did all these things, but there was just this fear that just rattled through my body. Oh, it was an awful day, but it was a beautiful day, and I thank the universe for that day because I had to really, really now, and again, every day is an amazing day, really connect with who I really was. And well, who was I really? I move. You watch me on those videos, my hands are moving. I'm just full of energy. God gave me energy to share. And so I need to move. I must. It's a gift. And so I went everywhere in the world. Who could fix, put the right parts in so that I could move again? I went to India. Masterful surgeon, had recommended by amazing people in the United States to go there. I went there. They put in a hip. I'm competing again at 55 at a pretty high level, and I'm so grateful. So my bike has got a little thing on the side. I call it the Grateful Bike, and the Grateful running shoes and the Grateful everything. Why? Because I'm moving. So the
it's
point
a grateful
is
Gary. Yeah.
that the universe wanted me to stop and pause and slow down for a year and rehab and make the right decision for me and remember who I was and then help as many millions of people as possible. And that's been my track, like, before this. But when that happened, it's destiny. As many millions of people as we can talk to together, all of us together. You guys are all amazing. In the next five
we're going to do it.
Whatever. And we're doing it now. And that's why those things happened in my life. So everything in our life happens for a reason, a purpose. There's a lesson. There's an awakening.
No accidents.
No, it's consciousness. And we were unconscious. The important lessons that we could share with others. And that's the serving. That's the giving. Thanks for asking me, by the way.
Do you, when, you know, I heard you say one day, and I know what's happened to you and so forth, so I've kind of heard you talk before and so forth, but this time, no, the last time you did too, one day is what you said. Did you, like, set a timer or something to say, okay, I'm going to think about this for one day? Because sometimes people get stuck in this has happened to me and forever their life is going to be ruined. And it could be, you know, going down in the dumps for months or years, or they may never recover from something like that. And I hear you say one day. How did you just do one day with that kind of news, or, you know, and maybe you really meant a week or not, I don't know, but
I love,
clearly
that's great.
Do you know what I mean? It sounds
yeah.
like you set a 24-hour timer and said, I'm going to be pissed about this for like about 24 hours and I'm going to move on and figure out what I'm going to do.
What I'm grateful for, it was only 24 hours. It happened so quickly. But what had happened is I was in such pain. I called somebody. I called a friend of mine, and she's so special. Her name is Lynn. And that was a transformational call because I was, like, feeling like a victim, abused.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't fair. You know, one of those, like, wow, where's all this coming from? And does this ever feel awful?
And she goes, I know that feeling.
She goes, like, Gary, come on. She just, like, brushed up. Come on. What are you talking about? Do what you tell us to do. And then she gave me two or three things that I've been coaching them to do for years, right? Just do it yourself,
came back
dude.
In your face, huh?
Like, come on, buddy. You're like one of us
face.
On the bus. Yeah, you're like us on the bus with us, man. Just do what you say to us. And I was, like, so unconscious because the pain was so excruciating, the news. And so as she and everybody that is suffering and has suffered, it's like, we don't have to, you know, we can. So what happened is I moved through it in a day. I paused and went, wow, that was awakening. And then I went on
at
this
mission. At what point
mission.
Did you say, you know what? At what point did you say, I'm enough?
I recorded it and it's on. If you go to GaryCobat.com and when you go on there, it comes on and it's about a 3-minute, like, what exactly happened. And I was led to a book and it's called Your Invisible Power, and I give the book away for free if you go on there and just put in your email address. And you'll see all the things that happened because the pain was so excruciating. So I've been to some amazing, I met some amazing people like yourselves and the Eckharts and everything, and everybody's coming back to pain as a transformational piece in our life.
So we have a minute left. One of the things, you decide with me, Gary, if we run past a minute, it still records and people can hear the ending on replay, but it cuts everybody off but you and me.
Okay.
Or we can end the show. You can tell me. Which one do you want to do?
Well, let's wrap it up because, I mean, this has been, you know, a lot of information, and I want people to replay it and just keep it in their library. Remember, we're enough. No matter what's happened in our life, it's like, we want the love and the compassion, and what can we do, has been so eloquently shared, is what's going to diminish the power it has over us. Those things happen to us. We just don't want to hold on to them. We just want to accept them, not be attached to them and be codependent on them. So we're enough. We're worthy and deserving. We always have been, and we always will be.
All right. Lots of love to everybody. And I'm going to just take us out. So we'll see you next month. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and...